life out of death. I'm going to be talking about the fear of death today, the reason being that some months ago I preached on fears. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And either it was the next week or a week after that, Ed Copeland came up to me and said, because I spoke about three fears. I spoke about the fear of rejection, the fear of injustice, the fear of failure, the things that the devil uses to get us into bondage, right? So that's the message. That was what it was, to just overcome those fears. And then Ed came to me and said, Paul, there is another fear, a big one, the fear of death. And I thought, that's good. Well, it's not good, fear of death. But I said, thanks, Ed. So I accept the challenge. Ed, thank you for that. And I'm going to submit something to you today. If it doesn't solve all of the questions about the fear of death, at least it's the beginning of a conversation. So I'd like, and we sang today, and we heard today after the singing about Jesus giving himself, dying, becoming one of us. And there's a scripture there I've got in Hebrews chapter 2, 14. I'll read it from the New King James first. Then I'll read the CAV version. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. So he became us, right? That through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So I'm just going to read the Contemporary Aligned Version, which says, so he took on a mortal existence. That way he used death victoriously, destroying the one that uses death to hold power over us, the devil. He set us free from that fearful or dismal dungeon of mortal existence, the fear of death. Okay, what is it? Well, I'm making a statement here, first statement that I'm making. Life in this world is here to teach us to live above it. Now, that is not a comprehensive statement about what life in this world is all about. That is not the entire sum of what life in this world is all about. But it is an observation of life in this world. It is something I believe that life in this world is here to do. It's not everything that it's here to do, but it's something that it's here to do, is to teach us to live above it. It's like, there have been statements about life. Last century, life wasn't meant to be easy. Remember that? Also last century, I think back in the 40s, with Doris Day and there are a couple of others. Life is just a bowl of cherries. So there's lots of observations of life. And they've all got something in them, the truth. And that life is just a bowl of cherries. It says, I think the words go, we're not here to stay. It's just a holiday. So, I mean, in a certain sense, there is so much that we can say thank you for life on this earth. It is wonderful to experience. It's not all dim, but it's not easy. And I do believe it's here to teach us how to live another life a life above life in this earth. Not just one day, but now. So, if we are demanding that things of this world change our way, if that's our way of approaching life in this world, we find we get attached to this world instead of to God. If we take life on in this world and say, I'm going to make it work my way, we get emotionally attached to the things that we want out of life, and we can't let them go. It attaches us to this world instead of to God. And so, I'm going to submit to you that the fear of death has to do with the fear of the loss of the self that's attached to the things of this world. There's a self in us that just is drawn, attracted to the things of this world. And I mean, that's all of us. It's there to challenge us, and we take it on and we want to control it, and we can't. Some things we've got to change. I mean, you get your car fixed, you get your car, you don't say, well, God, this is your problem. No, he says, that's yours. Get it sorted out. Some things you do change. There are things you've got no control over, and you still demand that they change. So who do we blame? God, you shouldn't have done things this way. I'm looking for somebody to blame, and we get attached. And the fear of death is that self that doesn't want to let go and die to the things that are holding us down and not letting us be lifted up. You got that? I'm submitting that to you today. So there's a self in us attached to the things of this world, and the things of this world try to name us and claim us. That's you. That's what you're like. That's who you are. And we take on a sense of identity, that's me. And it can be good things or bad things. And once that gets you, and you own that part of this world, that challenge, this is me, then letting go of that me that you've been labelled is a tough thing to do. You feel, oh, that's me. Not realizing there's another real self that God has created, that he's labeled you. He said, you're my child. I've got something for you. Oh, no, it's all right. I've sorted it out. I can get it this way. But I'll tell you what, in life, when that happens and you get it and then you lose it, well, you've lost everything. I remember I don't remember it. I remember hearing about the Wall Street collapse, and people, their whole life was money. That had named them, it had claimed them. That's you, that was them, and all of a sudden there's no more. It had gone. They're just jumping out of windows. That's it, all gone. Now, how do we let go to things rather than get owned and claimed by the things of this world? Because that's what this life is there to do. In one sense, it's to show us that there's another life that we are to live above this, while we're still in this world. So often we try to write our own story. When we accept rather than resist his story, that's what God's story is of us, we can know a tremendous freedom. We can live in the what is of life and not say, no, I'm going to resist this. There are things that happen. We have to say, this is happening. Okay. And when we can live in the what is, that's things that we can't have control over. And when we know that God's in control and we can still live in the what is of life, we can become the who is of God, the real self we're meant to be. And that's a different experience. We're not in this dismal dungeon then. That fear of death. So it's time to practice letting go of things that claim us. In Psalm 139, I'm talking now about God's story for us. Psalm 139:13, you saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you're thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking about me, thinking of me. You see, God has got everything about us in his foreknowledge. He knows what's happening to us now. You say, but hang on. What about all the times that I missed the mark? I mean, I haven't been getting it all right. So how did God write that into the book? All the stuff that I got wrong, did he write that in the book? You know what's important? It's not what you think you got wrong in the past. It is the fact that you know that God is writing the book now. We sang a song this morning, there is a Redeemer. He redeems the past. All the times that we've missed the mark, God's been there in the middle of everything that's happened to us, in the what is of our life, and he's watched us missing the mark. Did he let us go? Did he say, well, you can go down there, I'm not coming with you? No, he came down that blind alley with us, every one of them. You say, well, was that written in the book? Yeah, it was in the book. You're going to go down there? Well, why didn't you stop me? No, I went down there with you so that I could bring you back. Redemption, redemption. Do you think he's going to map out this perfect path that we never make a mistake? No, no, no. God's in command of everything, inside of time and outside of time. The point is knowing that when you get brought back into the present moment, that's the moment now to say, thank you, God. You're now writing this story for me now. I'm on board and I'm going with you. That is living above what this world is trying to do to you. That's why the now moment is so powerful. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's when we get lifted above. Everything that's been redeemed, all the missing of the mark, has been used by God to bring us to this awakened now moment. At any point in time, if you would just stop for long enough and just say, this is now, you can honestly say to yourself, everything that has happened to me in my life has brought me to this moment now. Do you disagree? Say, no, 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 it hasn't. What's it brought you to? Yesterday? It's brought you to now. The point is, what are you going to do about now?
That's all you have to think about. No, I'm going to worry about yesterday, because if only I had to, it's been done.
I've cancelled it out. I am now involved in your life now. All my thoughts. We read the psalm. I'm thinking about you constantly. Now you're redeemed. Now I want you to awaken, to be awakened to the fact that now I'm leading you in a way that you mightn't have been before, but it's above being trapped in the things that have claimed you emotionally and everything else, that have made you suffer unnecessarily in this life. Because you're going to have suffering. No doubt about that. Life wasn't meant to be easy. That's true too. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But cheer up. I've overcome it. I've transcended it. I'm lifting you up to be seated with me in a heavenly place. That's where you're going to live from. When would you like to start? Well, tomorrow. Okay, well, enjoy the day. Because it's better being there with me in spirit, knowing that you've got me, my presence with you, than struggling to change the stuff that's taking you down right now, in your head, in your imagination, in your fears, in your anxieties. I've got something to take you into that is going to lift you above that, where you'll have the same stuff happening, oh yeah, but you're going to be a different person the way you look at it. Impossible. No, absolutely the plan of God called redemption. Amazing grace. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, and now I see. When do you see? When do you get found? When you awaken to the fact that you're with him now and you can be above the torment of being claimed by what this world is trying to make you think you are, in opposed to what God says you are. Labelling ourselves and consequently labelling others. So that's what being lost is. Being lost doesn't mean I'm going to go to hell. No. Being lost is a here and now experience. You're either lost or you're found. And you're lost in the stuff that keeps you awake at night, that makes you worry, that makes you resentful of what's going on. That's the here and now stuff that's claiming you. That's being lost. Being found, as Paul says, to be found of him. My goodness, he says, that's what I want. That is salvation. Lost and found. Blind and see. But what about all the time, all the lost part, all the blind part? Don't worry, now has arrived. Read the next chapter in your exciting life that starts now. That's what I'm doing most of the day. Oh, it's just started again. Thank you. I wander off. I get lost. I think, whoa, what's all this? Oh, hang on. It's now. This present moment is brand new. We're starting afresh. You love me. You've got mercy on all the mistakes. You've got a future ahead of me. You're saying, come on, let's go. And I say, thank you. And here we go. That's now. And that's up there. That's not down there. I want to stay here all the time, Lord. I want to be in this now every single moment, every single minute of the day. I know you do. Well, is it going to happen? Well, maybe not. You're going to get knocked off your perch. Something's going to come along and drag you down. But that's okay. That's okay. Read three chapters ahead. I'm sorry, but you can't, because I've written it. But there's going to be a tunnel. But I'll be there and I'll bring you back and you'll learn something from it. But more and more and more and more and more, you can be lifted above it. And you can start to have real joy, and you can enjoy even the bad stuff. Because you know it's going to turn into good stuff. Okay. Colossians 3:3. Well, what's that called? This is what it's called. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Who died? Who died? You. Which you? The you that's always having to die. The one that you've got to let go of, that's attached to the stuff. I'll say it again. Who dies? The you that always is dying so that the real you can always be rising and living. The best way to get rid of the fear of death is to get used to dying. Bit by bit by bit. Then there's no fear of death. Otherwise, it's banking up, banking up, banking up. Gotcha, gotcha. It's all this stuff. I'm going to build a bigger barn so that I've got more there. No, hang on, tomorrow I'm going to take you with me. Look, learn to die. You died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And the fact that he died for all of us means that everyone who is alive should not live for themselves. That's the me self, the self attached to stuff. But rather live with and for him who died and rose for us and with us. That's the new way to live. That's what was introduced 2,000 years ago. It's called Christianity. Not that it doesn't work, it's just that it's often never tried, not put into action, because it works. Revelation 3:18. Jesus says, behold, this is in the letter to a church that thought it had everything, but here, this is speaking to individuals. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I'll have a meal with him, etc. I've read that so many times that I've looked at it a little bit more closely. Behold, I stand at the door, that's the door of our heart, and I knock. So he's doing the knocking. If any man hears my voice and opens the door. Well, okay, so you're in a room and Jesus is outside the door. And this is our heart and he's knocking. What stops us from hearing? I'll tell you one thing that stops us from hearing, the noise that's going on in our head. The other voices that's telling us to get angry with this and get resentful about that and pay that back and organise that and get tough about this. We don't hear the voice because there's too many other voices going on. What about opening the door? I don't reckon we can get the door open because there's too much furniture in there. It's jammed full of stuff. We might hear the voice, Lord, I can hear you, I can hear you. Well, open the door, I can't. It's packed full of furniture stuff. Hang on, I'm trying to open it. Come on, open it up. Haven't you got any space? Got no space left, Lord. I've filled it all up with my stuff. Okay, well, we'll start from there. Can I help you get rid of a little bit of stuff? So that there's space. Okay, that's what I'm here to talk about. How do you get rid of the stuff in the room so that there's some space for God? If I don't get to the end of the sermon, think about that. That's where I'd like to get to. What does it take to live this kind of resurrection life? It takes a letting go of one kind of life in preference for another. But you've got to want to, unless you really love struggling with this life. Philippians 3:8. We'll listen to Paul for a minute. I have no problem with letting go of everything I've ever had so that I can have the supreme honour of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. When he says the supreme honour, that is the... has anybody got a version of the Bible that it's surpassing something, surpassing experience of having... of knowing God, yes. The surpassing excellence of knowing God. Was it? Does it say surpassing excellence? Yeah, okay. So, but the word, the actual word, it's trying to say a word that actually is a very simple word. The word it's saying, I'm letting go of everything I've ever had so that I can... And the word is hyper, that is above, echo, which means hold, that I can hold myself above everything in order to know Jesus. In other words, it's that business of I'm letting go of stuff so that I can have the holding myself above experience of knowing Jesus. And that's what I'd like. Wouldn't you like that? If you let go of this stuff, you can have the holding yourself above experience, hyper echo of hanging on to Jesus. I've forsaken everything for him and I see it all as meaningless so that I can make having Christ the most meaningful thing in my life. I find the true meaning of life as I find oneness with him. I no longer have to establish myself by my rigid observance of the law. I am fully established and brought into harmony with God by believing in what Jesus has done and is continually doing for me. I long to know and understand him as a person and to be aware of the power within him that makes what is dead live again. In other words, I want to know his resurrection life. I want to know the power that makes what is dead live again, and God can do that in our lives. I want to identify with the way he suffered. Let my soul be shaped by his heart of giving up his life for us. If this kind of living is what is meant by bringing life out of death, I want to be a part of it. All right, finally, we're just going to talk about the practicing of dying. It's done in the little things. When we don't rush in to fill a space, we leave room for God to come into that space. I was driving with somebody the other day and they said, Paul, you seem to be driving a little bit more slowly, a bit more carefully. I said, yeah. And they said, is it your eyesight? I said, well, partly. But I said, I'm learning to give more space. Because I reckon there's three kinds of drivers on the road. There's the ones that are aggressive and they grab everybody else's space. And boy, that is dangerous living. And I know what it's like to be grabbing space in a car many years ago. And Gav would know, he was there to have to repair the car. But there's another kind of driver that goes so slowly that they are a hazard on the road because they're driving absolute fear. They're not giving space, they're actually taking up space and time so that nobody else can get anywhere reasonably. Then you can drive so that you give space. And you know what happens? This is the turnaround. Life above this life is about learning to give space away. And the moment you give space away, God comes in and fills space in you. Space starts to happen inside of you the moment you give some away to someone else. That's it. That's called letting go. Doesn't matter if it's driving a car or it's standing in a queue at Coles
why is this taking so long? I'm going to get, I can get up here. Three spaces, she just walked away. I just got her space. You know what? When you grab somebody else's space, something shrinks inside of your space. There's less of God in your experience because you've grabbed somebody else's space. You try it. When you give that space away, say, I'm here, God, where are you? And he says, I just flew in. It was lovely. You've made room for me. You've opened the door. You had so much furniture in there, but now I can come in. It's simple. Having or not having. Well, that's Revelation 3:18. That is too much junk in the room. Doing or not doing. I've got to do this. Why? Because people expect me to do it. And I'd better do it. And it's an obligation. Romans 13:8, Paul says, owe no man anything except to love one another. It's not about I've got to do it because that's the wrong reason. I've got to do it because somebody wants me to do it. There's a time when you say, no, it's better not to. It's what God does with us. It's what parents do with children. And there's a creating of an expectation then. Well, God, I can hand this one to you. I can hand it to you. And you will do the work. How many of you have ever had people in their hearts that they're praying for? And you know what you want God to do. Lord, come on. I just want you to fix that person's attitude. You want a certain thing to happen. And this is for a good reason. And the prayer, and I know there are parents that have done this. Well, I'll give God a hand. I'll make it happen. I'll organize. God says, you just took up my space. But I had to do it. I'm the only one that can do it. If I don't do it, it won't get done. And it's all up to me. God says, you've just shrunken the space inside of you. You're trying to take control, even of your prayer life, and trying to get me to do something, and then you're saying you're going to do it. If you're giving it to me, give it to me, and I will come, and there will be space. You just do the loving. And if you get an opportunity to speak, if you're asked for advice, give it. Of course, if you're in a place of authority and you're organising some kind of thing at your work, and you've got to tell people what to do, well, you've got to go and do that. Can't just say, well, God, you organize it. You've got to give advice. It said, but you know what I'm speaking about. Then there's speaking or not speaking. These are all little things, but it has to do with giving away space. How many times have you been in a conversation and you just know that you've got something good to say and you want to say it, this person won't stop talking? Like the sign I saw in an Irish pub. One thing I can't stand is when somebody's talking and talking and talking and they won't let you interrupt them. But you know what it's like? You want to be able to say something, but it's hard to get a word. Give space. Wait. And instead of the thing that you want to say emotionally or with all your zeal, if you give space, God will give you wisdom, because that's where it comes, in the heart. The room's got too much furniture in it. He can come in. He can give you something that is wise, that is true. And when it's said, it won't have this emotional attachment to it, and it will actually speak. I've got three rules. I'm not saying I obey them all the time, but I do observe them. Not under the law. Three rules about speaking, about talking. First one is, does this need to be said? Second one is, does this need to be said by me? You can tick the first one. Yes, it does need to be said. All right. Does this need to be said by me? No. Not mine to say. All right. How about ticking the first one? It does need to be said. It does need to be said by me. Right. One, two. Ha. Third one. Does this need to be said by me now? You will find you'll develop an impediment in your speech. It's called space. And it slows the rhythm down. And you'll learn to wait, and when you speak, it will be you saying the right thing at the right time for the right reason. These are little things, but they lift you out of one kind of life that is claiming you because it is rush and bustle and I'm attached to this and I've got to do it my way, into another life that says, God, come in. God says, thank you so much. By George, I think you've got it. And you start watching God at work in your life, lifting you above a life. I'm not talking about supernatural miracles, although I still am. I'm talking about the life you can have. What about judging or not judging? Tell you what, I'll finish with this one. When we judge, when we judge somebody else, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. We actually put ourselves in a place that belongs to God. It's not your job. Paul says in Romans, judge nothing before the time. When the Lord comes, he will judge all things according to the hearts. And each one will receive commendation from God. Romans chapter 14 is beautiful about all the different things, the different ways Christians do things to please God. And one eats meat, one doesn't. One esteems one day above another and they fight about it. God says, don't worry about all of that stuff. Each man stands or falls before God, because if in his heart he's doing it before God, God will make him stand. Judge nothing before the... Don't put that person down just because they do it differently to you. Oh, no. They don't believe the way I do, Lord. So that's curtains for them. Unless they believe the way I do, they're going to have to be punished. I mean, that's how church is carried on. In fact, it used to be, unless you believe the way we will have to kill you. And they did. And in the Middle East, they're doing that now. An entire religion saying, well, not an entire religion, kind of a movement based upon a religion, is saying to the rest of the world, unless you believe what we believe, we're going to kill you, and they're trying to do it. You see, judgment is up to God. Now, we can discern, we can discriminate, we can make those kinds of judgments, but the mechanism is let God judge. Jesus did. He was offended, he was judged. And in Peter, 1 Peter 3 and 4, he says, he committed unto him who judges righteously, just handed it over to God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, 3, and this is how Paul was able to see into this thing and turn it around. He says, with me, he said, it's a very small thing if I am judged of you. He says, yes, I don't even judge my own self. I don't know enough about myself. See, the heart is kind of all over the place. But the Lord is my judge. So I let him judge. Can you imagine the space that that creates when you hand, because judgment is not just a kind of a clinical decision of a discernment. Judgment comes with so much kind of energy and emotion. And you know what the big thing that judgment does? More than anything else, it separates you from other people. That's what judgment has done all through the church. Separate. Judgment separates you. But more than that, what do you reckon I'm going to say next? What does it separate you from? Who does it separate you from? God. People who judge find it very hard to find God anywhere because they're doing all his work for them. Make space for God to do that work and you will be so, if you can see all of those things on practicing dying, you'll be so free from the fear of this world that you're going to be not afraid when the time comes, because the time's going to come and you're going to die. You say, it's all right, it's all gone. I've let it go. Fear of death. Let's start practicing dying. And enjoy life and can see if it's a bowl of cherries or whatever. God's with you. Amen.